Shalom Alechem, and thank you for joining in on my podcast. I'm Shoshana, also called Zippor Esh of the Sar Shalom Synagogue, Chavengers. Zippor Esh simply means the firebird in Hebrew. As a citizen of the Kingdom of God, studying and living God's Torah is the fire of my life. Studying God's Torah without application to our lives is meaningless, however. The object of God's word is to reveal the godly side of our lives so that we can be people who look just like the Mashiach Yeshua, who is the living, revealed Torah of God. As spiritually focused beings, we can be effective witnesses of God for His glorious kingdom, thereby fulfilling our role as priests for the nations who would want to join Israel and the kingdom of God. We will never accomplish this if our old selfish nature has not died. As a wise person I knew many decades ago once said, dead people don't have agendas or opinions. As Rav Shaul tells us in the second letter to the converts in Corinth, we must be born again, a new person born into a different mindset, a different perspective, fully embracing the culture of the kingdom that the Torah reveals. A new creation cannot continue to be called a Gentile, as the Hebrew word for nations, translated as Gentile, means any nation outside of God's Torah covenant. A person is not truly born again if they still have the same mindset they used while in the pagan world. If you still think of yourself as a non-Jewish believer, the logic says that you are still acting like a pagan idol worshiper, and this as an insult to all that Messiah did on the execution stake. A new creation means one who no longer looks or acts like they did while still in the pagan, godless world. Understanding what God expects of us from the Hebrew, biblical perspective will give clarity for how a believer should be living as a born-again, new creation, living within the kingdom of God. Trying to understand the Hebrew books or the documents from any cultural mindset other than that of Jewish one will only cause confusion and disaster. What I share with you is just the very tippy tip of the iceberg of all that is recorded by our Jewish elder brothers as it regards to our walk with Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. Cultures change, mores change, influences change through the centuries, but God's instructions and expectations of His children never change. So let's begin with the blessings we speak before opening and studying God's Torah, that we will have hearts to understand His spiritual decrees. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim ve'natan lanu et Torato. Baruch atah Adonai noten ha'Torah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has selected us from all the nations and gave us His Torah. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. And the blessing for studying the writings of the restored covenant through Yeshua, the Brit Chadashah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, who is good, who does good, and who proclaims the good news of redemption through Messiah Yeshua. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, Redeemer of Israel. Baruch atah Adonai Goel Israel. So we continue our study of Yaakov, also known as James. In chapter 3, it says, verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, since you know that we will be judged more severely. Yeshua speaks about the importance of walking humbly as teachers, as recorded in Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Yeshua also, speaking of himself, said, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. Why do some people go through what seems to be tougher trials? Our trials are in complete harmony with the plans and purposes that God has for our lives. The greater God's plans for us, the more intense our trials and testing. If we are to reflect the true character of God, then our humanness must be challenged and tempered. As God calls his children to a greater life of obedience and consecration, the enemy comes against us and tries to make our fleshly heart fight God's perfect ways. This is where the testing can become the most severe. If we yield to the temptation to ignore God's commands, then God allows more opportunity for us to try again. He doesn't bring calamity upon us. When we fail to obey God's commands, he lifts his hand of protection and consequences follow. How we respond to each consequence will determine how long we will continue to struggle with that same trial. Every trial we do go through is directly linked to one of God's Torah principles. Every trial. What is God's end goal then? To be people who reflect the holiness of God so that those who are lost in the world can find their way to him. How is it possible that people who declare to be followers of Yeshua fail to walk in holiness? For so many, the bottom line is that they do not know what and why God has given us his Torah. When people in spiritual leadership positions fall into temptation, the effect of their sin is widespread. It is not a matter of simply asking for forgiveness. There are people's lives at stake. If leaders have not totally surrendered their lives fully to God's word and thereby allow the enemy to water down God's absolutes, they will be held accountable for every person that falls away due to their willful lack of obedience. When we submit to God, we have no choice but to go through the purifying process that fighting temptation brings. If we don't accept the purifying process, we will never be fit to participate in the plans and purposes God has established for us. We must be purified so that we can lead others to live in God's kingdom. If by our actions we cause many to turn their backs on God, then we will be judged for their destruction. Can we afford to be held accountable for something so horrendous? For this reason, we must submit to God so that he can change us back into the human created in the garden. Verses 2 through 4 says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If someone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man who can bridle his whole body. If we put a bit into a horse's mouth to make it obey us, we control its whole body as well. And think of a ship. Although it is huge and is driven by strong winds, yet the pilot can steer it wherever he wants with just a small rudder." I forgot to add a scripture, but I will add it here. There is a reference about this in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. In verse 2 is quite an indictment against so many of us. On one hand, Yaakov is telling us that everyone stumbles, but on the other hand, he is also saying that it is possible to not stumble. So, what is he saying about our behavior? The examples he uses are absolutes. If he is comparing our ability to control our words and actions with these absolutes, what is he telling us? So many people run around thinking that they are so holy and righteous, mainly because of what they believe about the blood of Yeshua. Yet they give themselves all kinds of permission to fail or to not even try to walk righteously. Yaakov is comparing because he is admonishing the people to strive to control their fallen human nature and bring it into obedience to God's Torah, his word, the holy standard. The Chofetz Chaim, one of Israel's great teachers, speaks extensively about bridling our tongues. There are many books written that compile his teachings so that we can learn to guard our speech. The Chofetz Chaim Daily Companion is a must for any believer's spiritual library. His bottom line is that we should carefully consider every word we speak as to how it will affect the person listening, the person it's about, and what our intention is in speaking the words. One of the things God hates is gossip and false speech. King Shlomo warns in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, "There are six things that the Lord hates, even seven things that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who spreads discord among family members." God speaks in the prophet Zechariah 18:17, "Do not plan evil in your hearts against one another. Do not favor a false oath. These are all things that I hate, says the Lord." So what issues are we to take control over? Our words can kill or bring life. God spoke everything into existence. What we speak out of our mouths reveals what is hidden in our hearts. Yeshua addressed some character flaws in his speech in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37. "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his good treasury brings forth good, and the evil man from his evil treasury brings forth evil. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, men will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Contextually, Yeshua is most likely speaking to some of the Sadducees here as they reject the whole idea of a Messiah figure and a judgment day. But more importantly, to be a doer of the word, we must apply these warnings to ourselves, or we will be like the man who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. King Shlomo warns in the last chapter of his letter to his son, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, "A final word, when all has been heard, fear God and keep his mitzvot, his commandments, for this applies to all of mankind. God will bring every deed into judgment, including everything that is hidden, whether it is good or evil." So we can see how critical it is to control our tongues, because our bodies follow suit to what our tongues proclaim. In the book Everyday Holiness, in the chapter on loving kindness, I want to quote several passages as they deal with the heart of a person. Page 184, the author quotes a verse from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord wants from you. He wants you to promote justice, to be faithful, and to live obediently before your God." He then quotes from Rabbi Chaim Zaitchik from Sparks of Musar. "The cornerstone of Rabbi Nosam Zvi's service of God was loving kindness, chesed in the Hebrew. This, to him, meant being careful of another's honor and dignity, helping others, having one's heart overflow with love and kindness, utilizing every opportunity to benefit others. It meant that older students should learn with younger ones. Above all, it meant that one should greet his fellow with a pleasant countenance, because it makes the other feel good and binds people together in friendship." Why do I quote this? It speaks to the heart of a person. The author goes on to say on page 185, "The Jewish tradition elevates deeds of loving kindness to the highest possible ranking among soul traits or characteristics. Only some problems have solutions, while all of them are alleviated by the loving response of those around us." In the book, The Ethics of the Fathers, it says, "We learn that the world stands on three things: on the Torah, on the service of God, and upon acts of loving kindness. The fact that loving kindness is one of the three pillars on which the world stands underlines how very important this soul trait, this character, this characteristic must be. Is it any wonder that Yaakov addresses the character traits later in this chapter? If our hearts are not submitted to the standard of God's word, our mouths will give us away every time. King Shlomo says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." And he says in another place, chapter 10, verse 11, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." Consider what Yaakov says in the next two verses, verses 5 and 6. "So too, the tongue is a tiny part of the body, yet it boasts great things. See how a little fire sets a whole forest ablaze. Yes, the tongue is a fire, a world of wickedness. The tongue is so placed in our body that it defiles every part of it, setting ablaze the whole of our life. And it is set on fire by hell itself. It is said by one of the ancient sages that the worst kind of fire is the fire of anger kindled on the Shabbat. We must guard our attitudes and our actions, especially on the most sacred day of the week, the seventh day, the day that God stopped creating and rested from his creating. He further states that we can defile our whole being. Let me read that again. He further states that what we say can defile our whole being. Imagine a blanket spread out on the ground with food set out to eat. The food can represent all the good actions we have done or the good words that we have said. What happens to the food if a dog comes along and relieves itself all over the food? It has been defiled and useless, just as our lives and any good deeds we have done before we spewed forth curses and insults about another person. Pretty ugly and disgusting, if you ask me. There is nothing to be done except to bundle up the mess and start over. Verses 6 through 12. "For people have tamed and continue to tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures. But the tongue, no one can tame. It is an unstable and evil thing, full of death-dealing poison. With it we bless the Lord, the Father, and with it we curse people who were made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Brothers, it isn't right for things to be this way. A spring doesn't send both fresh and bitter water from the same opening, does it? Can a fig tree yield olives, my brothers, or a grapevine figs? Neither does salt water produce fresh. The selfish nephesh nature feeds the kingdom of Satan and brings destruction, but God's nature brings life. It builds up and encourages. It never finds fault. It always forgives. He blesses, so must we. He forgives, so must we. The less evil speech that passes our lips, the less repentance is needed. If God's Spirit is in us, then we should be more like God and less like the nature of the selfish world around us. We must learn to submit our impulses to the governing of the Ruach HaKodesh daily. Knowing what the Word of God says helps us to understand what God expects of us. This is the first step in learning to control our nefesh, our selfish nature. Choosing not to read God's Word will not excuse us from the consequences of our willful ignorance. Our lives as members of God's covenant must reflect the truth of who God is. If our lives don't, then God has to do something to redeem His reputation. If our lives are not different from before we accepted Yeshua, then we are like salt that has lost its flavor and has become useless. Flavorless salt is thrown into the street to be walked on. Yeshua addressed this very issue in Matthew 6, verses 13 through 16. Don't give up hope, though, for God's grace is able to redeem anyone's mistakes and willful disobedience when we humble ourselves and repent for disregarding God's heart revealed in His kingdom Torah. Yeshua died on the execution stake so that we would no longer be slaves to the kingdom of darkness. When we cave in to our selfish nature during difficult times, it is like lighting a fire that consumes those we love. Verses 13 through 18 say, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him demonstrate it by his good way of life, by actions done in the humility that grows out of wisdom. But if you harbor in your hearts bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, don't boast and attack the truth with lies. This wisdom is not the kind that comes down from above. On the contrary, it is worldly, unspiritual, demonic. But where there are jealousy and selfish ambitions, there will be disharmony and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is, first of all, pure, then peaceful, kind, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And peacemakers who sow seed in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." True wisdom comes from knowing what God means in His Torah and how to apply that knowledge. This wisdom only comes through educating oneself to what God's word actually says in the Hebrew. Only then can the Ruach HaKadosh tie all the loose ends together. Trying to understand something without knowing the cultural context only leads to misapplication. Many doctrines today have no true spiritual foundation as they were built upon misinterpretation. The truth, though, is this. What the context is actually saying is far more amazing than the limitations of Christian doctrines from the same Bible passages. The difference is like seasoned steak versus a plain hamburger. When the truth is revealed, but a person is not ready to hear the truth, they oftentimes will get agitated and will say things that are quite obviously not true. We've seen this happen so many times when it comes to the truth that Torah is still for today and God still expects His children to walk in obedience to His holy instructions. In verse 14, Yaakov is addressing a very serious character flaw. "But if you harbor in your hearts bitter jealousy and selfish ambition," these flaws are contrary to the very foundations of Torah. When Yeshua was asked what the greatest commandment or the mitzvah was, He responded with two commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, that says, "Love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Then He added Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, "You are not to take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am Adonai." But if we start at verse 15, we read, "You are to do no injustice in judgment. You are not to be partial toward the poor, no show favoritism towards the great. But you are to judge your neighbor with fairness. You are not to go up and down as a tale bearer among your people. You are not to endanger the life of your neighbor. I am Adonai. You are not to hate your brother in your heart. Instead, you are to firmly rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him." We can see by these Torah verses that Yaakov is pointing out some serious issues that need to be corrected. Lest we think God is telling us to rebuke all the sinners around us, keep in mind that God is talking to Israel, and Yaakov is talking to the new converts to Judaism who have accepted Yeshua as the prophesied Messiah. We are accountable for the stumblings of our brethren if we don't gently put them back on the path of righteous living. Rav Shaul warns the believers in Galatia chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. "Now the deeds of the flesh are clear: sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you just as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the inherit God's kingdom. Yaakov is in agreement with Yeshua's words in Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. There is a stark difference between darkness and light, just as there is between the ways of the world and the ways of God. They are completely opposites. That is what makes God's commandment to love your neighbor so powerful. That is why it is also so hard to obey. Yet this is the most important tool in reaching others for the kingdom of God. Perfecting our character traits is the everyday task of every believer, and the book Everyday Holiness is a great book to use to start the journey toward righteous actions. In verse 17, we read, "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceful, kind, open to reason, full of mercy and good actions, without partiality." I want to bring out a point of thought that I have seen within Christianity that actually closes the mind of those who do not have any Jewish theology understanding. That point is, when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, a new era of spiritual understanding came to light. The problem with this ideology is that it creates an attitude or a belief that there is no need of the teachings of the Jewish people. However, to believe that the Ruach HaKadosh did not move actively through the ancient priests or judges of Israel could not be further from the truth. To believe that a new spiritual understanding came after Pentecost closes the mind to the incredible spiritual revelation that came through the ancient sages of Israel. This belief reveals an incredibly anti-Messiah spirit, or if you will, an anti-Christ spirit. It also can set a precedent that we don't have to believe what the ancient teachers of Israel taught. It is through these ancient teachers of Israel that the idea of a Messiah Savior was born. This could only have been revealed through the Ruach HaKadosh to many teachers of Israel for this belief to have made it into mainstream Judaism just in time for the arrival of Yeshua. If God's wisdom is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, then it would behoove any serious Bible scholar to study the writings of the ancient sages so that one can get a complete understanding of the whole counsel of the Bible, God's holy Torah, the books of the prophets, the history books, the Psalms, and the writings of King Shlomo. In this contextual understanding, the more we grow spiritually, the more God expects from us as we learn the deeper truths of Torah revelation. Any doctrine that denies the Torah as the foundation is a doctrine of lies and twisted truths. The more we understand from where we have come as humans in bondage to sin, saved by God's choice to forgive, the more God expects us to respond in the unselfish love he gave us. The more we realize our own imperfection, the more we will be gracious and forgiving of others. This is the life that delineates between the world ruled by evil intentions and God's kingdom. This is the life and the freedom that God wants for us. We have truly been set free from the absolute control that the evil inclination had over us. We now have the choice to obey God's instructions as citizens in his kingdom. We are now able to choose freely what we will think, feel, believe, do. The list is endless. The realization of this freedom should make us shout for joy. Amen. Let us finish with a blessing. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torah emet, vechayei olam nata betocheinu. Baruch atah Adonai, noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and implanted eternal life within us. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. And the blessing for finishing the Good News study, the Brit Hadashah study. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, our King, Redeemer, Savior, and Shield, who sent Messiah Yeshua, the King of Israel, to ransom your beloved ones. Blessed are you, Adonai, who renews his covenant in love. If you have become a citizen of God's kingdom, but you haven't started learning how to obey kingdom laws, you can start growing in your knowledge and understanding of God's word by watching the live stream feed of Sar Shalom Synagogue every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Sar Shalom Synagogue, the blue ribbon logo on YouTube, has video recordings going back many years. I suggest starting with the messages from the last Shabbat of October 2016. These messages start with Genesis, which is the best place to start if you want to see how Yeshua fits within the whole of the Bible narrative. Or if you tune into the live stream, Rabbi Griffin has started an in-depth study of Genesis that will last all year long. Be prepared to be amazed at the info you will learn. You can go to mysarshalom.com and scroll down to find the link that will connect you to the live stream on the Shabbat morning. You can also tune in to Lapid, L-A-P-I-D, Judaism, the blue logo, with Rabbi Mordecai Griffin on YouTube Live for the daily and Aliyah a Day teaching, each day Monday through Friday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, or on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. You can also watch past Aliyah episodes on Anchor Podcast under Rabbi Mordecai Griffin. You can actually just Google Rabbi Mordecai Griffin Anchor and it will bring it up immediately. What I have shared in this podcast is like sitting in the kindergarten class. There are several resources I would like to recommend if you are ready to walk in the footsteps of Yeshua and his disciples. On Anchor, you can also access the teachings of Shomer, S-H-O-M-E-R, Man, M-A-N, capitals, Super Time, one word, capital S, capital T, and Musar, M-U-S-S-A-R, with Batya, B-A-T-Y-A-H, and Thomas and Janaya, J-E-A-N-A-Y-A, for more clarity and interesting insights for understanding and applying God's Word. Some resource books to enhance your understanding of the Bible are the Art Scroll, A-R-T-S-C-R-O-L-L, Art Scroll Chumash, C-H-U-M-A-S-H, and the Kehot, K-E-H-O-T, Chumash. These contain the five books of Moses, also known as the first five books of the Bible. You will learn amazing insights from the sages of Israel that you might recognize in some of the letters of the apostles. Everything they wrote came from the writings of these ancient judges and sages. Everything, even the concept of a Messiah figure. And I mentioned this one, Everyday Holiness by Alan Morinus. This will teach you how to change your character issues and be more like the character of Yeshua. The Book of Jasher, a parallel history from the Garden of Eden to Israel, entering the Promised Land. This book fleshes out the stories recorded in Genesis. The Chofetz Chaim, whom I mentioned, the Daily Companion, teaches us how to guard our words from destroying the character of others. I also want to encourage you to purchase a Hebrew Bible translated into the English. My favorite is still the Tree of Life version, which is available on the Gateway Bible app, or you can get it from the Vine of David. I have to maybe rethink that. Never mind that. The Delitzsch Hebrew Gospels you can get from the Vine of David. Delitzsch is D-E-L-I-T-Z-S-C-H. The Delitzsch Hebrew Gospels. Another great resource for understanding the Hebrew idioms in their proper perspective. Many of Yeshua's teachings come right from the oral Torah, codified in the Talmud writings, and from the book of Deuteronomy. The Apostles' letters have their foundation in the ancient scrolls of Judaism and can be fully realized within the context of Jewish commentaries. Shalom, and be blessed as you discover more about the freedom that obedience to Torah provides us.